White Rocket Entertainment.
I'm Weather Channel meteorologist Reynolds Wolf, and you are listening to Almost Credible Discussion of the Auburn Tigers with the AU Wishbone.
A miracle that turned to hair! A miracle that turned to hair!
War Eagle.
We welcome you to Jordan Hare Stadium for tonight's game.
It's the Wishbone Podcast, your source for Auburn football discussion and commentary. Now, here are your hosts, Van Allen Plexico and John Ringer.
Hello, and welcome to the AU Wishbone, and coming soon to AU Wishbone TV, brought to you by White Rocket Entertainment, in association with the WarEagleReader.com and the War Eagle Sports Radio Network. I'm Van Allen Plexico, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host.
I'm John Ringer.
And John, dare we hope that bowl season brought some much-needed perspective to our Auburn family as all sorts of programs got blown out across the college bowl landscape, including the team that we played, fortunately enough. I think that perspective, as we've been talking about, is one thing that's been missing from some of our brethren and sistren in the Auburn family, and maybe seeing that a whole lot of teams, you know, kind of got steamrolled over this bowl season can kind of, you know, like I always say, it's not just us and Alabama. There's a lot of teams out there, and they all want to be better, and we can't all be better at the same time. What do you say to that?
It's good, and also say, we wanted three big things to happen for Auburn, and two of them have happened.
And those would be?
Playing well in the bowl game and hiring a good defensive coordinator.
Okay, well, we're going to talk about both of those things and the other thing coming up. But first, I wanted to mention, this is our first episode where I'm recording it from the new White Rocket Palatial Studios. And a couple of you have seen the little video trial that I did from down here. And with our next episode, if all goes well, we will be AU Wishbone TV as well as AU Wishbone Podcast. And you'll be able to watch us on YouTube or listen to the podcast, or if you really enjoy it, both. Hey, why not? I'm sure people will be doing that, right? And so that's pretty exciting. So I'm down here in the studios now. I got the new microphone set up, got all new equipment, got new computers, new audio stuff, a new 27-inch monitor, got the soundboard integrated into the 27-inch monitor into the computer. So this is pretty neat, and I really am looking forward to transitioning over. This may also be, by mutual consent with John, this may be our last Skype program. We're going to transition, I think, over to Google to do the video and use the audio off of that. So this is pretty exciting. It's the end of one era, perhaps tonight, and the beginning of another. We have a couple, let me throw out a couple of tidbits to you, John. We got some Auburn news tonight. One thing is that we had the Auburn connection for the Carolina Panthers over the weekend. Now that Cameron Artis Payne has getting a little playing time and scored a touchdown for the Panthers.
They did. That's exciting.
That's pretty cool. So we could have Cameron and Cameron in the Super Bowl if everything goes, you know, knock on wood here.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves. They got a bye, but it's a long way to go.
15-1, right?
Oh, yeah.
Stupid Falcons. I cheer for the Falcons.
No, it's a good thing. It's a good thing.
You think?
Yes.
Why?
It just takes the pressure off. Now they just got to win the Super Bowl. Before there was, there's a lot of extra pressure. I think that's really what messed up the Patriots that one year. This is better.
Yeah, you don't have there's no trophy for going undefeated.
No, there's just extra pressure and extra problems and a million questions a week about it. And, you know, not many teams have gone through one loss either. So
That's right. Guess who the new running back coach for Arizona State is going to be?
Cody Burns. I saw that.
He's moving on up. He's
exciting.
His career advances. So I'm anticipating down the road a few years when Auburn gets to choose our next head coach, hopefully in about, 15 years after Gus wins his 15 more national championships. I'm anticipating Joe Witt Jr. versus Cody Burns as the final two. Because you remember Joe Witt Jr. said his dream was to one day be Auburn's head coach.
Sure.
And Cody's working his way up, you know. Joe Witt, of course, those who don't know, was our longtime linebacker coach under Pat Dye and Terry Bowden. And I guess under Tuberville, too, huh? He was there a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And last little news tidbit. Did you see Auburn's basketball win over Tennessee?
I did not get to watch it live, but I saw the results and I read the articles about it. It's exciting.
I was flipping away from bowls to watch it, and then at halftime and so forth, I'd flip back over to the bowl games, whichever they were. But yeah, I watched the whole thing and it was great. I mean, the thing that's just amazing about that team, the injuries are mounting, right? Mm. I mean, they're down
in the backcourts. Yeah. The guard rotation is really rough right now.
When Kareem Candy is having to be your point guard, I mean, he's the shooter, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And my tweet was, "What can't he do?
He's great.
He's amazing. His you know, the sweet spot where he can hit the three is like 6 yards behind the line.
Mm-hmm.
He shoots from places where the defender's like, well, he isn't shooting from there. I'm not going to defend him. He just chucks it up there. So I love how one of the announcers says he has the greenest of green lights.
Mm-hmm.
He never saw a shot he didn't like, so that's pretty cool. So we'll keep an eye on the Hoops team because that's the main thing we'll have to talk about, you know, on and off over the next couple of months, and that'll be exciting.
We need to get a little clear here and be excited.
Right. Now, there is one thing I need to say to you, though. And that is?
You lied to me. Release the hounds.
Because you told me the SEC was not going to do well in bowl games.
We'll be here any minute.
Oh, I forgot there was another little bit on that one. I usually turn it off. You told me the SEC was not going to do well in bowls, and all they did, John, was set a freaking record.
They did. They have a lot of teams in bowls, and
that's true. Having a 14-team conference does contribute toward having more wins, I guess.
But it's also like, you know, I was concerned because I think there's a lack of quarterbacks in the SEC, and I think some of the teams aren't very good. But I think the reality is you look around the country, the teams that got matched up against, and I think it worked out well. I mean, Ole Miss played Oklahoma State. They probably should have been playing Baylor, Baylor or TCU, either one, if they hadn't had so many injuries. And realistically, they should have been playing Baylor. And, I think that game would have gone a lot differently.
But they just played them last year, didn't they? Or they were TCU.
They played TCU last year and got their ass kicked. And I think Baylor, Ole Miss would have been a much better game. Oklahoma State was kind of they were the team that beat all the bad teams and lost all the good teams in their conference.
Right.
And, you know, the other games, I mean, Northwestern was bad and Penn State, their offense is terrible. So that in Kansas State, I mean, so those were good, you know, kind of predictable. But I mean, the Auburn, you know, I think winning the way they did was kind of a shock.
We'll talk about that a little bit in a minute.
You know, and A&M losing was kind of predictable, and Florida losing was kind of predictable, I think, because they're all, you know, their offenses are both kind of spiraling downward. Mm-hmm. And we thought, you know, LSU had a good chance because of who they were matched up against, but I didn't think it would all go the SEC's way. I mean, but, you know, other than the A&M in Florida, everybody won, and a lot of them won going away.
Yeah. Yeah, and Texas A&M had a shot. I mean, Florida was the only one that got blown out.
Mm-hmm.
Couple of things about that. One, while we're talking about the bowls, I felt like the Oregon – did you see the Oregon-TCU game?
I did not see all of it, unfortunately.
my wife went to bed at halftime because it was such a blowout. I kept watching. Because I enjoy watching Oregon. But here's the thing about that game. The two halves of that game, and that's the one I was most looking forward to just based on the matchup, because I felt like a lot of the bowl matchups this season were not very interesting matchups. They weren't not mm-hmm. – they just didn't fit together, you know. But that was a good one with potential – you know, you got two teams with –
Well, until the quarterback got arrested for TCU. So.
Well, and Oregon's got hurt. The whole game went to crap when it came down to your backup quarterback against my backup quarterback, and your backup quarterback was good and my backup quarterback sucked. I mean, that was the difference in the game. Because think about it. Oregon with a quarterback, 31-0. Oregon without their quarterback, 31-0 the other way, plus overtime. So the reason I wanted to bring
that's just because Oregon's coaches are stupid.
Well, yeah, but the reason I bring that game up is to make an analogy to Auburn. We talk a lot on this show about how much difference it makes between having a quarterback that can execute your offense and not, right? It makes multiple game losses difference.
Sure.
And the Oregon TCU bowl game encapsulated that, because the first half was basically Auburn with a Gus Malzahn quarterback, and the second half was Auburn without a Gus Malzahn quarterback.
When you say a Gus Malzahn quarterback, you don't mean one that was on our roster this year?
Right. I mean, you know, a Cam, a Nick, somebody that can execute the whole playbook, that can do everything that we need a quarterback to do. I mean, like I said, even Appling at Arkansas
State.
Yeah, whichever directional Arkansas. Yeah, of course, Arkansas State. You know, even Ryan Appling, he was a senior. He was pretty mobile. He was smart. He was tall. You know, he had all the things. He wasn't Nick Marshall running 1,000 miles an hour, and he wasn't Cam blowing people away. But he brought a lot of things to the table that Sean White with a knee brace wasn't really going to bring. And that obviously, as we've seen how Jeremy did for a good portion of the season. So, you know, so my point is, if you don't think that one player can make a humongous difference in a game and in a season, go back and watch the Oregon TCU game.
Well, and I would say there's a couple other good examples in there too. One is TCU and their games without their starting quarterback. You saw what happened. The bowl game and their other games they lost without him. And then another good example is Florida once Greer went out.
Oh, yeah.
You know, with Greer, they had a guy they could win the SEC with and maybe make the playoffs or whatever. Without him, you know, they were terrible and they got blown out by a bunch of teams.
Right. And so it's and you can say, well, Gus should have recruited 17 of those quarterbacks. Well, you know, sometimes it doesn't work out that way. And there's going to be years like this year. So where you think you've got somebody that can get everything done, it doesn't work out. So this once again gets back to perspective and patience and people not setting their hair on fire. But
Oh, for a muse of fire
that could set my hair on fire. let me see. Another question for you while we're talking about this. What percentage of the Auburn fan base would you say was disappointed with the outcome in Birmingham against Memphis? Oh, where is he going with that?
0.1%?
You think? I think it was a lot bigger.
No.
I think, John, I'm going to lay this out there. Send me your hate mail. Send me your tweets. I don't care. I don't care. Send them to me. You know why? I think that there was a substantial they've shut up. Have you noticed this? They've been quiet. They've shut up since the bowl game, mostly, for the most part. I haven't seen it nearly as bad as I was before the bowl game. But there's a proportion of the Auburn fan base that wanted Auburn to lose and wanted Gus to get fired in the parking lot and change everything and start over yet again. Do you disagree? Am I just being cynical and mean-spirited? And
whatever? I think what you mean to say is there's a portion of the Auburn fan base that's already made their decision about Gus.
There you go.
Regardless of the bowl game or what happens next year.
Yeah.
And
yep.
Some of those people may have made their decision about Gus last year.
That's fair enough.
I think on some level that doesn't matter then. But also, I really, really do think the percent – I mean, however loud or noisy some of those people may be, I really think it's like 1%.
Well, to be fair, when I say that
– I don't have facts to back this up.
But I just feel it very strongly, you know. It's like that – there's a Bill Maher bit that he does on Real Time now where he says, I don't have facts to back this up, but I feel it strongly. And he just comes up with all these little, and that's kind of how I feel about this. I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but yeah, but maybe it
goes back to that thing where we were in a really bad place after the season and after losing to Alabama.
Yeah.
And we talked about that Auburn needed these three big things to happen, good things in the offseason, winning the bowl game and playing well.
Yep.
You know, hiring a good DC and then doing well in signing day. And we're on our way to all three of those. And I think people have a different perspective then.
All right. Well, before we get in, we're going to get into that right now. But before we do, one other last little tidbit I had for you is that the defensive player of the year for Auburn was who?
Blake Countess.
And I can't believe we had a player named Countess on the team all season, and I never thought until yesterday to go and get...
No Englishman would dream of dying in someone else's house.
Or...
Especially someone they didn't even know.
Or...
One can't go to pieces at the death of every foreigner. We'd all be in a state of collapse whenever we opened a newspaper.
Or maybe even...
Why does every day involve a fight with an American?
Or finally...
She is married, then her husband will tell her what her opinions are.
So there's the Countess. So we say goodbye to Blake Countess. I get four awesome Dowager Countess from Downton Abbey sound clips just as he's leaving the team. Gonna be all year.
Darn. I'm so upset you didn't think of that earlier.
Are you not a big Downton Abbey fan, John?
I've never watched it.
It's an awesome show, and she's the best part. She just has a little barbed quote, you know, quip for... But listen to this one more time.
No Englishman would dream of dying in someone else's house. She's someone they didn't even know.
Just awesome. I love it. All right. Well, we say goodbye to the Dowager Blake Countess with a little bit of that. All right, so the three things. Hiring a defensive coordinator. Break down Kevin Steele for us. Much like offenses are going to try to do next year.
Well, as everybody knows, the Kevin Steele news broke right as the game was getting ready to start on Wednesday. It really was less than an hour, it seemed like, before kickoff.
Yeah.
That we heard the news that he was coming because the LSU had played the night before. So he was, whatever. Then there was all this back and forth about how LSU was trying to keep him, and he was on the LSU team bus and the team plane, and they were, beating with the Les Miles and the AD, whatever. But then at the post-game press conference, Gus basically stood up and said, Steele's our defensive coordinator. Like, it was done at that point. Mm-hmm. So, I think what I wanted to point out, give myself credit here. When we did our last show, I said one of the possible scenarios that the reason we hadn't hired someone is that the defensive coordinator they were talking to was working for another team and wanted to coach the bowl game for that team.
Right.
And I think that's what happened. Mm-hmm. So I think Steele's a solid defensive coordinator. He has a lot of experience. I think Gus wanted someone, needs someone that can operate independently on that side of the ball, that, is their own person, because Gus is going to focus on the offense. And I think Gus wanted someone who was an excellent recruiter. Van?
Yes.
Okay, sorry, I thought I lost you there.
I'm just enraptured. Go.
All right. I think losing Muschamp and T-Rob and potentially losing Lance Thompson, Gus knew that he needed a defensive coach, a defensive coordinator, who was going to be able to bring in big recruits. Right. And Steele can do that. So, again, he needed somebody who was experienced and proven. He needed somebody who, theoretically had knew the SEC and who could recruit in this territory, and someone who could operate independently. And Steele fit all those criteria, and he had kind of proven himself, this year in LSU. They didn't have a great season, but they lost a lot of guys from last year. And I think he had done a pretty good job there. And, the other way coaches always measure each other is they coached against each other. So in that specific game, Gus and Rhett coached against Kevin Steele and had a feel for his defense, for having scouted him to prep for playing against him, and also in that game. So I think in that process, Gus must have come out with some kind of respect. And the other part is, you know, Steele clearly wanted to come. He, you know, at some point they had discussions while all the other rumors were out there about these other candidates. And he wanted to get back in Alabama so he could invest in the retirement system and all that kind of stuff. And his brother works for Auburn in the athletic department. Mm-hmm. But I also think it's a good chance for him, you know, to be at Auburn. And because, again, if Gus's offense works the way it should and the way we expect it to, and we get good quarterback play, you don't have to hold the other team to 10 points a game. So, right. And I think also, I mean, it's clear from if you watch the bowl game, Auburn has defensive talent, and we're recruiting a lot more. So I think whoever the defensive coordinator is, they're going to be in good shape. The other thing, the other criteria that I think was out there that we didn't think about so much, or, you know, that Gus clearly did, is Steele is, you know, flexible in his schemes, can run a 4-3 or 3-4, but uses the same terminology that Muschamp does. So the players will not have to learn completely new system and terminology and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so they both worked for Saban playing, you know, coaching defense.
Right. So that helps with the transition going from Muschamp to Steele, and that the players don't have to start over from ground zero with this is called this and this is called that.
Spend all of next season just getting up to the beginning point, to the speed.
Right. And so because of that, the learning curve is not nearly as bad as it would be as if you hired somebody who didn't have those things.
Yeah, that's
so I think the recruiting part cannot be understated either. I mean, Muschamp and Tavarius Robinson are excellent recruiters, and Gus may have known that Lance Thompson wanted the defensive coordinator job, and he was, you know, felt like he was auditioning at the bowl game. And Lance may have told him, if I don't get the defensive coordinator job, depending on who you hire, I may leave. Mm-hmm. And that may, you know, so that was a roll the dice kind of thing. And Gus clearly felt like hiring Steele, even if he lost Lance Thompson, was the right answer. But that's another reason you must get a guy who's a big time recruiter.
Well, and bear in mind, I've seen people saying, well, you know, we should have kept Lance Thompson as the defense coordinator because the defense played so well. The defense played awesome, but I think the defense would have played like that a lot more of the whole year if they'd all been as healthy every game as they were, you know, in Birmingham the other day. Mm-hmm. That was the first time we had the whole deck of cards to play since the first quarter of the Louisville game.
Yes, you're right. That was a huge difference, the rest and the time off and everybody healthy. And then also just, Memphis is a very good team and the quarterbacks that get drafted and all that stuff. But, you know, they have lost the head coach and some of the other coaches to Virginia Tech already. So I think some of the offensive brain trust wasn't there in that game. That wasn't the same coaching staff that beat the crud out of Ole Miss a couple months ago. So I think, but again, I thought Thompson did a great job. That is the best. We'll get to the bowl game in a minute, but he deserves a lot of credit because that's the best that our defense has played in a long time. And so I get the idea that people were like, wow, we really should have hired him. But,
that's like hiring the West Virginia guy after that one bowl game. And then he ends up being a disaster. You remember when Rodriguez left, they hired their bowl coach.
Mm-hmm.
And it just turned into a mess.
You can't make decisions off one game, and I think that's not what Gus was doing. He was looking long term and felt like this was the right answer. So
right. About Steele, I agree with you about the learning curve transition. That's a great benefit. There was another point, though.
Well, the other thing that he brings is intimate knowledge of both Alabama and LSU currently.
Right. That doesn't hurt. We also got to know who he's going to hire, though. We hadn't put a staff together yet, as far as we know. I'm sure he's working on it now, but, you know.
It's true.
No huge hurry there. I mean, we're in a dead period still, aren't we? Are we coming out of it or whatever?
We're coming out of it, but he needs to hire the secondary coach, and then if he coaches linebackers.
Yeah.
He's got somebody else to hire. So maybe he hires somebody to coach outside linebackers or whatever. But so he's got two defensive coaches to hire, and it'd be interesting to see who he comes up with.
Right. Well, what about the bowl game? We had a first half that was sort of lackluster. In fact, we gave them 7 and really 10. You know, it would have been 10-0, but the offense wasn't doing much. Second half, the offensive line just took over the game, didn't it?
Well, that was a game where Auburn really, on both lines of scrimmage, Auburn just took over, as we should against teams, you know, that we're better than on the lines of scrimmage. Auburn should take over, and they did. In the second quarter, Auburn played really poorly. The play calling was bad. The execution was bad. With the three interceptions in a row, and we had a bunch of stupid penalties that extended that one drive for Memphis that led to the field goal. And I felt like Auburn just shot itself in the foot again and again and again. It should have been in control of the game and really kind of gave control away. But in the second half, they came out and eliminated those mistakes and went back to running the ball more and taking less chances passing. And the defense absolutely dominated Memphis.
Yeah.
I mean, the defensive line was in the backfield the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And we had great coverage, great tackling. They did a lot of, dump offs and just the wide receivers and running backs around the line of scrimmage. And the tackling was so good in that game. Not a lot of yards after the catch. Nobody breaking contact and making, getting extra yards and stuff. So I thought that was the best overall, top to bottom game that Auburn's defense has played in, 10 years. I mean, like since 2004, probably, that Auburn defense has played.
2006. I mean, they were, but yeah.
Okay, again, like 2000. I'm saying this here. Like 2007, we were like second in the country in, scoring defense.
Yeah.
So there were some really good performances then, but it's been a long time.
It has been a long time. Yeah, that's exactly right. Since before Mira was born.
Did you think about the quarterback play?
I don't think our starting quarterback next year was on the field Saturday.
I went into the game with the hope that Sean White could come out and play an A game. And at the end of it, we'd be like, wow, he might be the man,
mm-hmm.
But I don't know if he wasn't 100% or that's just, the level he can play at now, but it wasn't good.
No.
And it's not all him. I mean, some of it was, good gosh, just give Javon Robinson the ball.
That's the thing.
Javon Robinson, Kerryon Johnson. That's it. I love Peyton Barber. He should
he
be the backup.
1,000 yards. Hey, well, he's going to be a footnote now. We've set an SEC record. I can't believe that there's no SEC team has gone for has never gone for seven seasons in a row with a 100-yard rusher. I would have thought with a 1,000-yard rusher. I would have thought that many teams had accomplished that, but we were the first team ever to go seven straight seasons with a 1,000-yard rusher. That blows my mind.
I mean, everybody always has a down period at some point.
I guess. But, I mean, we had, Ben Tate in 2009, both Cam and Dyer in 2010, Dyer in 2011, Trey Mason in 2012. Who was it in? Trey Mason in 2013, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then Cameron Artis Payne last year, and now which one?
Peyton Barber.
Oh yeah, Barber, of course. Peyton Barber did it this time. So, and I think next year, if everything goes according to plan, it'll be
Javon.
Yeah, he certainly got it lined up to do it. So, what about the third thing we want to have happen? Signing day. It's looking pretty good, isn't it?
It is. We talked last time about a lot of the early signing guys, as Vincent. They had the all-star games this weekend where a lot of them played, and they played well.
Okay. Let's see. We've covered a lot of our stuff from our outline kind of in conversation here.
The other thing I want to say about the bowl game.
Yeah, yeah. Special teams?
Special teams are awesome.
Yes.
We've talked a lot out last year the special teams were bad. In 2015, they were better. But that was the best special teams game in a long time, too. Remember, we had the fake punt, which was a great pass by Kevin Phillips. We had the block field goal against them. We had great punt returns, and we had good kickoff returns. So it really was, and we had good coverage against when we were kicking. So it was a great job by the special teams.
Yeah, I agree. It really did. Yeah, even the punt return. I mean, we've been waiting for something like that. We haven't had very many really big kick returns this year. They've been okay, but nothing that changed the game momentum really. So That was pretty exciting. There were some plays in the second half in all three phases of the game that had me excited. Certainly a lot more excited than the first half.
It's true.
So, I mean, it seems like our MO the last couple of years has been good opening drive or early first quarter drive, go in the tank in the second and third quarter, and then try desperately to get something cooking in the fourth quarter. And I'm kind of tired of that cycle. I'd like to get back to 2013, which was come out, blow them away in the first quarter, blow them away in the second quarter, a little bit of lull, maybe in the third quarter, blow them away in the fourth quarter. That's what I enjoyed, you know? So,
when was the last time Auburn beat a good team soundly? Before this bowl game.
Soundly, we barely beat Kansas State. They were pretty good last year. South Carolina.
I mean, last year, LSU. But they, how good?
Yeah. If you count LSU last year as really good,
I don't. I mean, they win 7 games?
We won some good games in 2013. I mean, Missouri was a good team. They only like 10.
I was going to say that Missouri in the SEC championship game 2013.
We still gave up like 40 points to them, but we scored 50 or whatever on them. So, yeah, maybe so. Maybe so. Well, we're down. Let's see. Did you want to say something about the young players in the bowl practice?
No, just that it's. I mean, outside of whether you cared about the bowl game or not, or felt it was really important, it's great for all the young guys of practice they got to get in that game. And we saw some guys really step up in the bowl game that we hadn't seen so much this year. And I thought that was really good. So,
well, we have a new tradition we're beginning this year of New Year's trivia questions for John. And these are insanely hard football trivia questions. I don't know. You want to do like half of them this time and half of them next time? Because I'm
sure.
Time to. Someone make a note. Stop here. Save for next week. Okay. So, hold on. I'm trying to figure out how to. I can't do it. That sucks. Wait. Yes, I can. All right. There. Okay. So here's the first five. We're going to run through these. These are insanely hard, John. There's no way you'll get any of these, but I want to see if the audience can get them, and I want the audience to get a chance to laugh at you trying to get them.
Well, I'm glad I'm here for your amusement.
Yes, yes, yes. For all everyone's, yes. All right. So here we go. Number one. In the 1983-84 Sugar Bowl, this player, who was a native of my hometown of Sylacauga, Alabama, was the backup quarterback to Randy Campbell. He held for Al Del Greco on the Sugar Bowl winning field goal. And the next day, the Birmingham News headline on the story about him said that blank exhibited man's humanity to man. Name him. There's a big clue in there. I practically gave the answer away in that question. Shall I run through it again?
I don't know. Pat Washington?
It's not a bad guess. He was sort of the backup, but not the holder.
I don't know this.
Mike Mann. Mike Mann was the holder on that Sugar Bowl. Okay.
My dad probably got that one.
Yeah, he probably did. Question number two. In Bo Jackson's junior year of 1984, which Auburn running back had the most carries and the most yards at running back? Is it a trick question?
It's not.
Yes?
Didn't he get hurt?
That was the year he got hurt?
Yeah, so was it Fullwood?
It was Brent Fullwood. Ding, 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 ding. I don't have my old iPad with the sound effects from Match Game on it, sorry. But Fullwood had 117 carries for 628 yards. Bo was not even second. Bo was third with 87 carries the entire season for 475 yards. Pretty amazing. I think he still had the most yards per carry that year. Okay, so carrying that over into number three. Number three, Bo Jackson missed 6 games in the middle of the 1984 season after being injured in game 2. Here's your question. Against what team was he injured? And there are bonus questions.
Texas,
yes. Look at John. Bonus, number one, what player injured him?
I don't know.
He had a career in the NFL, I believe, with the Rams. Although I may be wrong. No, I'm right about that, I think. No?
I don't remember who it is.
It was Jerry Gray, defensive back for Texas.
He played with the Cardinals, I think.
Okay. And your other bonus, when Bo was out for those six games in 1984, how many of those six games did Auburn win? Without Bo.
Three?
All six.
Mm.
I had a bonus question here too, but I'm not going to go to it, but I'm going to throw that to you. Name one of the running backs who played in place of Bo and helped Auburn win all six of those games, besides Brent Fullwood.
It was after Cribbs and James and
yes.
William Andrews. Brooks.
Well, you probably know the fullback.
And I'm trying to think. I can't remember his name.
He blocked for Fullwood famously in 86 and had a huge season. Went on to play for the Dallas Cowboys.
Wasn't Agee?
Yes, Tommy Agee.
Tommy Agee.
Back. The two other tailbacks besides Fullwood that played a lot were Collis Campbell and Kyle Collins. Yes. And they all had big yards in that Florida State 42-41 game. People forget that amazing 42-41 Florida State game in 1984 that was not on TV, that we all listened to Jim Fife on the radio. Bo did not play in that game. Kyle Collins, Collis Campbell, I guess Fullwood, AG, they all carried the ball a bunch. Maybe even Tim Jesse. I can't remember if he was on the team already or not. I think he was on the team that year. So we had a lot of running backs behind Bo. Just you don't remember them because of Bo. Most people don't. Okay, number four. In all of Auburn football history, Auburn has lost bowl games in back-to-back years, back-to-back seasons, only once. Okay, in all of Auburn football history, Auburn has lost bowl games in back-to-back seasons only once. Name those two seasons, and there are two bonus questions. Or name the coach. I'll give you credit if you name the coach. But if you really want to show off or show out.
We lost to Florida State and then we lost to Wisconsin, right? It was Gus Malzahn.
Yeah, I meant to preface it with before this past couple of years. So you're right. Okay, before the current regime that happened only once. It only happened once before now. You're right. I forgot to preface it. So yes, you are correct. So you get bonus point there. But prior to recently... Prior to like immediately, when was the only time it happened before this?
I don't know.
2000 and 2001, the coach was Tommy Tuberville. We law your bonus is name the two bowls now that you know the years.
Outback.
Close. You're in the right state.
Citrus.
Yep, Citrus was a 2000. Do you know who we played?
Michigan.
Yes, excellent. Okay,
well, I remember that because that was the Michigan team that had the great offensive line.
Though. Exactly, that's what they did to us. I was at that game with my parents and various folks. I remember that was down there for that game. And so 2001, what bowl did we play in and lose, and who we lose to? This game still makes me mad.
It wasn't Outback, was it?
No, it was closer to home.
Is it Peach?
Yeah. It was the Peach Bowl or
Clemson?
Whatever. Well, you'd think. You definitely got the right conference, but we actually did not play Clemson for once in an ACC game.
It wasn't UVA, was it?
No, it was.
We beat them.
Yeah, that was more recently. It was the Peppers, Julius Peppers.
Oh, North Carolina.
North Carolina. Yeah, it was like 16-10, and we got 16-10. I said we're going to score a touchdown and win 17-16, and we never did score again. That was a 7-5 year, 2001. That was when Cadillac got hurt and was out after Alabama. Okay, your last question. This is why we're going to stop at five. We'll do the other five next week. Number five. In the 1980s, Auburn played Florida State See, these are the earlier questions, and I have some later ones coming up in the second half. In the 1980s, Auburn played Florida State almost every season between 1983 and 1990. We were at the famous 90 game together. So between 83 and 90, we played Florida State almost every year. Name the one year we did not play each other in that stretch. No, that was the Sugar Bowl.
That's right. I was there. I shouldn't know that.
Sammy. Sammy Smith. Double whammy on Sammy. A little earlier.
Yeah, I was going to say 87.
We played them in Auburn that year.
No, we did. They killed us.
Yep. That was the game that Tracy Rocker got hurt.
So, I don't know, 85 or 86?
85 was the year Bo ran wild on them.
Okay.
59-27 Auburn win. So, 86. We did not play them in 86. We didn't have them scheduled for 88, but we played them in that bowl game. And then we played them again in Tallahassee in 89 and played them again in Auburn in 90.
And let me say, I went to the Sugar Bowl. We sat in the end zone, and it was pass interference on Deal. And I was right there.
Oh, yeah. Freddie Wagan on the first down pass. Yeah. Dude drove his helmet into the turf and they didn't call it.
Yep.
I mean, Dion may well have interfered on Lawyer on the last play. I don't doubt that at all.
The one with the helmet is the one that the blatant one that everybody thinks about. And then after the fourth down stop, Dion went down, and we don't think about this kind of stuff now because there's no excessive celebration in college football, but he ran down the Auburn sideline and personally taunted every single person on the Auburn sideline, including Bo.
Over
there. So. I hate Florida State.
People forget how obnoxious Deion Sanders was in college before he even got to the pros.
Well, and you think that chant is obnoxious in an outdoor stadium? You go listen to it in a bowl, in a closed bowl game for a couple hours.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Fortunately, I do not have it on my soundboard. I had it back when we did we were getting ready for the Rose Bowl, but I don't have any more. Your bonus for this one to wrap up was, what was the final one loss standings for that 80s to 90 series between Auburn and Florida State? In other words, was it 7-0? Was it 0-7? What was the final one loss between Auburn and Florida State in that stretch?
Is it 4-3 us?
4-3 us. We won the rubber game in 1990. Chuck it, Chief. Okay, we'll save the rest of them for next time. It takes a while. Is it time? Is it time? Is it time?
It is.
Leave.
It's time for listener questions. Dun, dun, dun. On the AU Wishbone Podcast.
All right, and what's in the mailbag this week, John?
All right, first question is from your buddy Reynolds Wolf.
Oh, hold on.
Like an unwanted neighbor that comes over and visits.
From the Weather Channel, Reynolds Wolf.
Thunder snow.
All right. What we got from Reynolds? I'm just so glad to get to play that.
All right. As you said, he asked good questions.
Yes.
His first question is this. Let's imagine you are Auburn's AD. You have the power to set up one neutral site game against any school at any venue. Who would Auburn play and where?
Oh, man, this is a great one, Reynolds.
And he says his choice would be Notre Dame at Wrigley Field.
Wrigley Field? That's interesting.
I think Northwestern played a game there a year or two ago. It didn't go well, I don't think.
That's interesting. I wouldn't have never in a million years have thought of Wrigley Field. I'm thinking, what does anything jump out to you while I think about it?
I mean, we talked about the who we want to play thing.
Yeah.
Because
threw out Notre Dame, Oklahoma.
But the venue thing, like, if it's not a home game.
Yeah.
Then to me, the venues are like, I think the Rose Bowl Stadium is beautiful.
Yeah. I wish I could go to that.
I was going
to
say, like, I'd love to play, USC or Oregon out there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But, I'd love to play Notre Dame. And maybe play him somewhere like New Orleans. or if you go to some more interesting venue. you know.
I'd like to have played Notre Dame in New Orleans at the end of the 1988 season.
Yeah, you got that right.
Ugh. National championship.
That was end of.
That would have been us. Would have been our first national championship since 1957, if you don't count all the others we're not counting.
Stupid earthquake game.
Yep, that did it. If I can say something like, you know, the Rose Bowl against somebody for the national championship, that'd be kind of cool. I mean,
you can't say the last part, but you could say Oregon at the Rose Bowl stadium.
Yeah, that'd be neat. Or it's like getting out the old Sega and putting up what stadium and what team. Mm-hmm. You know, honestly, I'd love to play Oregon in Outson. That would be neat.
I'm not a neutral site person. Like they're great. I understand why we do them and stuff, but I want to play all these teams at home and home. I want to play Notre Dame at home and home, and I want to play Oregon at home and home. Yeah. You know, and I want to play Oklahoma at home and home.
We've done the Texas thing. I would be saying Texas, especially right now while we can get them, but we played Texas a bunch there for in the 80s and 90s.
And I want Florida State in home and home. Bring them.
Oh, yeah.
Bring that team into Jordan-Hare. You can't imagine the kind of reception they would get.
Oh, it'd be so loud. It'd be so awesome. I would have to come down for that. I'm having a hard time thinking of anybody else. I mean, we've played all around. You know, we played at Southern Cal. We played at Syracuse. We've done some interesting travels over the last few years. Played at Kansas State. I got to go to that. That was neat. So, yeah, there's a lot of good ones.
All right. His second part, he says the other option would be Oklahoma at the Jerry Dome.
But, yeah, that'd be neat.
His second part is the day of the vaunted former player returning to his alma mater to coach, you know, Bear Bryant to Alabama, Spur to Florida, et cetera, truly seems to be a thing of the past. But if you could pick a former Auburn Tiger to one day coach Auburn with great success, who would it be? And he says for him, it's Cody Burns.
Yeah, Cody. Well, I was saying Cody versus Joe Witt Jr. would be neat, but they're really, really young. If I think of like some older guys, that would be cool. I always want
Damian.
Oh, Damian Craig, sure. I always wondered if Pat Nix was going to end up, because he was Miami's offensive coordinator for a while, and I thought, man, you know, he might end up being a head coach. You know, I could see Patrick Nix as a head coach. It didn't seem to work out for him, I don't guess. Stan White could have gone down that route, but he's kind of become a broadcaster and does other things. Just somebody from Pat Dye's era in the 80s, you know, Tracy Rocker, who else from back then really, you know, seemed like a leader and a smart guy who had the charisma and everything? I mean, you know, Bo Jackson and Tracy Rocker were the two, obviously, from that era, just like Cam and Nick Fairley were from the, you know, more recent times.
I'm sure there's somebody I'm not thinking of.
Yeah. Yeah. But there's so many, though, you know. I mean, well, even our current defensive line coach was one of Pat Dye's offensive linemen, you know. So
Garner.
Yeah. So we've got some of that. We've got Garner and Craig on the staff right now. Pretty cool.
Here's another one. Like, Cam come back to coach and beat Alabama just to piss him off again.
I would love to see that. I don't think Cam's going to end up being in coaching.
No. No.
Doesn't have the same personality, but he made a surprise. You know,
he's going to make plenty of money playing in advertising, and then he'll retire. So.
Exactly, he's a fun-loving. You know, he's more like Charles Barkley, just having fun. Uh-huh. You know, I can see him on TV, but I don't really see him like trying to. You know, why should he concern himself with all the hard grinding stuff? You know,
that's right. 15 years from now, he'll be the Sunday Night Football commentator on NBC or whatever. So.
Great, that'd be awesome. I'd love to listen to him. Okay. What else we got in the mailbag?
All right. Our next question comes from Jonathan Harris, who says, can we ring in the new year on a good note with a Bama loss?
Well, that would be nice. I certainly hope so. I hate being put in the position of having to root for Dabo Swinney. I don't dislike Clemson so much as I dislike Dabo Swinney's Clemson.
That's true. But I will root for him.
And here's the funny thing about that. I was saving this for later, but since it came up, isn't it weird that Dabo is basically auditioning to be the next head coach that can lead Alabama to a national championship, and he's doing so by working as hard as he can to deny Alabama a national championship? And that's not unprecedented, because he's following in the footsteps of Urban Meyer, who denied – yeah, yeah. But I mean, Urban Meyer coached in the national championship game against Ohio State and denied them a national championship.
Well, Ohio State and LSU beat Bama and won the Dash title.
Not in the national championship game, though. Well, I mean, yeah, but yeah, that's almost as good. But I mean, but what Dabo is doing is precisely, assuming that he ever ends up as Alabama's coach, which seems like a lot now. Depending on what Kirby Smart does at Georgia.
I think it is a very realistic option, but I think it's funny that everybody assumes that's what's
yeah, that's what's going to happen.
Okay, we'll have this scenario. What if Clemson beats the crap out of Alabama in that game?
Tears of joy.
5-10. Could the bitterness be so much that even if Saban retired immediately after the game, they couldn't hire him?
No, they'd be saying, "We got to fire the Saban guy, hire Dabo. Dabo is awesome." They'd be all over him tomorrow. That wouldn't be any bitterness. They'd be all over him. It's just funny to me that Urban Meyer's team has one fewer national championship than it could have because of Urban Meyer. And the same could be true of Alabama. It just strikes me as funny. Okay.
Next question.
Yeah.
And we'll come back to our thoughts about that game. Earl, who's the Prower 01, will say, how big will the meteor need to be for the championship game?
Just big enough to take out all of one sideline and stands, and just enough of the other sideline to get that one guy. I wish no ill will against Clemson and their quarterback and their fans and all that. I got no problem with them. They've got their lake, and that's fine, you know. But, yeah, just the right size and shape. It needs to be a shaped charge meteor.
I am not a fan of Dabo Swinney at all, but I will be cheering very hard for Clemson.
Absolutely.
Harvey Ferrier says, can you make me feel better about the Kevin Steele hire?
Well, I think we already have.
Do you feel better about it since we talked about him?
Yeah, the only thing that was rubbing me bad about it potentially – was that when LSU hired him, we heaped a little derision on LSU. But I think the circumstances were different in two ways. This was something I was going to mention a while ago and I forgot to. One of the ways that was different was that he hadn't been, you know, working as a defensive coordinator before that recently. And so they were kind of hiring a random linebacker coach, it seemed like, to be their defensive coordinator, whereas we are hiring LSU's defensive coordinator away from LSU, which to me is loads better, you know?
That's fair.
And plus, they were bringing him into a situation that they already had a great defense established, and it seemed questionable, you know, whereas our situation is very different, and for the reasons that you gave, that he's using the same terminology, that he's got connections, that he's a good recruiter. So he seems a much better fit for our current situation this year than he seemed as a fit for LSU's situation at this time last year. Does that make sense?
Fair.
Okay.
Our next question comes from Emily Rios, who says, help me get excited about a second string JUCO quarterback as a savior for our offense, please.
This is the Florida State JUCO.
John Franklin III. He did share time as a quarterback of the junior college team.
Yeah, if you go back and look at it, he wasn't the full-time quarterback because he was also playing about three other positions on that team. He wasn't second string. He was co-starter. They had a pocket passer and they had him. And they were using him as quarterback sometime. And they were using him as like everything else on the field at different times too. So he would have basically been on the field every snap if they weren't splitting time with him at quarterback. So I don't feel bad about that at all. I feel better about it. He was so good. They were using him at almost every position on the team.
Well, and I think the bottom line is he can play and he fits the offense and, you know, I think he's going to be all right.
But he's not a big guy, though, and it worries me that he's like – it's like Ontario McCaleb playing quarterback, you know.
Is he that much smaller than Nick Marshall?
I think he's like 175 pounds. I think he's 5'10", 175, which, John, that was me in college. Well, I may not have been 175. I might have been a little bit below that.
You go back and watch some of these quarterbacks in these other games, though.
We'll see.
Again, like I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about can the guy play and make plays. And I think you saw in these bowl games that, you know, running quarterbacks and the teams that really committed to it, it made a huge difference. I mean, that Louisville quarterback that we had problems with the first game tore Texas A&M into little pieces in that bowl game running the ball.
Sure did, yeah. Yeah, the season looks a lot different in the rearview mirror than it did at the time. I just want to say that. Any other questions?
That's it.
All right. Well, we've talked a little bit about the bowls already. We talked a little bit about the playoffs. What are your final thoughts in regards to the playoffs and the Alabama coming up against?
Well, we've talked all year about this Alabama team is the perfect construction to beat an I formation pro style offense team, and Michigan State is that kind of team.
Yeah.
The only, and I wanted Michigan State to win, and Michigan State has played well enough to beat them at times this year, but they didn't on Saturday, or, whatever, Wednesday, Thursday, whatever day it was.
Yeah. Nobody was watching. Doesn't matter.
I watched. I watched all of that game.
Oh, I did? Well, I quit.
I think most people bailed out. But
I changed the channel before my wife would leave.
Michigan State needed their quarterback to play at a very, very high level. And the other thing is this Michigan State team doesn't have the skill position talent that some of the recent ones did.
Right.
I think their team 2 years ago or a year ago in the same game would have done much better. They just don't have the wide receivers or, running backs to make plays against Alabama. They just don't.
Well, the whole Big Ten got exposed a little bit in bowl season anyway.
It did. So, but
winning the Big Ten didn't look as big as it did, 2 weeks ago.
And it's easy after, in hindsight, to go, wow, they got misclassed. But again, it was 10-0, and they drove down the field right before halftime, and they were at the 10-yard line, and the guy threw an interception.
Yep.
If he if he throws the ball in the stands, they kick a field goal, and it's 10-3. He had a, if he throws it away, and on the next play, maybe he throws a touchdown, it's 10-7. And they come out at halftime in a completely different situation. So I think that the interception before halftime was the biggest play in the game by 100 miles. And then I think that really took a lot out of them, and they didn't believe they were going to win after that.
No, nor did I, so I changed the channel.
No.
I watched about half of each of those two games, which is two halves more than most people apparently watched.
But, I watched again all the other one too, and I think Clemson has exactly the kind of team that can play with Alabama. First of all, Clemson beat up Oklahoma on both lines of scrimmage. And yep. Clemson has an offensive and defensive line that can hang with Alabama. Clemson's defensive line is great. Their defense as a whole is excellent. They're not going to get overwhelmed or pushed around by Alabama. And Clemson's offensive line is excellent. And they have the threat of the running quarterback where, again, they have an excellent running back and they have a quarterback. They do a lot. You're going to see a lot of the same stuff. They run a lot of the Cam Newton offense. They really do.
Yeah.
It's a lot of the same zone read stuff and the same zone read plays we ran with Cam. He's bigger than Nick Marshall, but not as big as Cam. And so he can carry it inside stuff. They don't do the, a lot of the power
weak
T kind of stuff we do with Cam, but they do a lot of the same kind of stuff. But they've got their passing game is really good. He's not as accurate or quite as strong arm as Cam, but he's really, really good. And just, he's a great runner, and it's going to cause real problems for Alabama. And, their lines of scrimmage are both good enough to push Alabama around. So
how many years has it been since Clemson won the national championship?
It was 1981.
Yep. 34 years. So we want to hear whoever their announcer is saying, 34 years of waiting, hoping, of coming so, well, not really ever close at all, but it's over.
Not close at all.
Not really close at all, honestly. Of you losing to Auburn since the Eisenhower administration, it's finally over. Gosh, Clemson. Yeah, that tells you a lot about Clemson. I mean, just to remind our listeners and those that weren't listening a couple of years ago, we talked about this. When Clemson beat Auburn in 2011 in Clemson, that was the first time Clemson had beaten Auburn at all since the Eisenhower first term. I Love Lucy era. That's how long it had been since Clemson even beaten Auburn. So you darn sure ain't winning the national championship if you hadn't even beaten us one time since the 50s. So 34 years and counting. Clemson has not won it. So I think they are due.
I hope they are due.
Let's see, a couple other tidbits real quick, and we'll get out of here. LSU hired Dave Aranda, one of the guys you were kind of interested in.
I mean, again, I would have been delighted if Auburn hired him. He's the defensive coordinator of Wisconsin, and they're really, really good.
Yeah.
And so they immediately hired him to replace Steele, and a lot of LSU fans think they upgraded.
Do you think that we talked to Aranda?
I hope we talked to Aranda. He's an excellent coordinator, and some people think he was trying to get to the SEC. If that was the case and we didn't talk to him, I'll be unhappy. But the thing with Aranda is maybe he doesn't check some of these other boxes.
Yeah.
Doesn't use the same terminology, so there'd be a learning curve. Doesn't use the same kind of system. And, you know, maybe we didn't trust, you know, even though he's a really a proven record, he has a not a strong recruiter. And maybe, you know, Gus didn't trust him to turn the whole defense over to him and forget about it.
Yeah. Well, and Miami, Mark Richt hired Manny Diaz. So the guys that you were, a couple of guys that you and others were talking about ended up getting jobs. They just got scattered all around, you know.
They did. And then, you know, those were guys who were the targets. I mean, they were underpaid and they were talented people who, you know, could be persuaded to move. And it'd be interesting to see how Aranda does at LSU.
What do you think about how Kelly did at Florida State against Houston, giving up like 800 points?
Well, we were joking during the game. It was the Houston defensive coordinator, Todd Orlando, that we should have hired. I didn't sweat a lot about that. I mean, again, Houston is excellent, and I'm really glad we didn't play them because honestly, they would have beaten the crap out of Auburn this year. And Florida State, you know, didn't really want to be there playing Houston, and their quarterback situation was bad. I mean, they weren't great with the guy they had, and then he got hurt, and after that, it didn't really matter a whole lot. So,
all right, have we done enough for tonight?
Yeah, the other thing we're going to talk about, you know, next time is all these guys going pro and who's getting hurt the most.
Yeah, that's right, and we'll do the other half of our trivia questions. And what have we learned this week, John? Because I got one thing I know we learned. We learned this.
No Englishman would dream of dying in someone else's house. Especially someone they didn't even know.
Someone they didn't even know.
I love it. I guess we learned that it's not so bad that we got Kevin Steele. We don't feel as bad about him as, you know. It was funny. When I got that word, I immediately thought, oh, okay. And then I thought, why am I not disappointed? I thought, well, I don't seem to be as disappointed as I might have thought I was. This doesn't sound that bad, you know. So I think it all just comes down to the situation and the time and the place, you know.
That's right. So. And the other thing I want to say about that, you keep playing that Countess quote, is I didn't even know Professor McGonagall was still alive at that period. But
that's her. That's correct. That is correct. Don't let your wife hear this one.
She is married, then her husband will tell her what her opinions are.
I would appreciate that any more than mine would. All right, John, let's get on out of here. We're doing this all on the fly live tonight, so that means that I got to hit this button right here.
Thanks for listening to the Wishbone Podcast. All past episodes are available at auwishbone.podbean.com and via iTunes. For more Auburn fun, join us on Facebook at facebook.com/auwishbone and follow the show on Twitter at auwishbone. War Eagle.
War Eagle, John.
War Eagle, man.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone Podcast.
All right.
Night, Van.
Go to bed.